Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From our gospel reading, Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. This is our text. What are Mary and Joseph doing? They've only had him for 40 days. 40 days since she first gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. 40 days since Christmas. 40 days, and they're in the temple presenting him to the Lord, offering him back up, returning him, giving him back. That's not how it should be with a gift, with this gift, with the Christ child. But tell me, 40 days after Christmas, and how many of your gifts have you returned, or broken, or taken to the local swap shed, or re-gifted? I know, that's not what Mary and Joseph are doing. But to present him to the Lord is a sort of re-gift. They received him from the Lord, and now they're giving him back. They didn't have to do that. There were things they had to do, things that had to be done according to the law of the Lord and as it is written, like their purification and the redemption of the firstborn male. But one thing they didn't have to do was they didn't have to present Jesus to the Lord. Luke tells us that when the time came for their purification, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Mary's purification is simply the occasion. But even Mary's purification didn't have to happen now. It would take place in the temple, and it could be as early as 40 days after the birth of a son, but it didn't have to happen then. Some women would wait until the family went to Jerusalem for one of the annual feasts. Some women would even do purification at one time for multiple childbirths. The Lord also established in his law the redeeming of the firstborn son. In Exodus, the Lord said, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast is mine. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me." Why? The firstborn of Egypt died in the final plague, but the firstborn of Israel belonged to the Lord. They were consecrated, they were set apart as a living reminder of God's rescue, one in every single home. And the Lord even gave instructions about how they were to teach about this redemption of the firstborn. When in time to come your son asks you, "What does this mean?" you shall say to him, "By a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, the father was to say, 'I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem.'" So Mary and Joseph had to do this rite of redemption, but it didn't have to happen in the temple, and it didn't even have to be in Jerusalem. It could have been done with any priest in the land, a small payment to redeem the firstborn from the Lord. But notice, Luke doesn't even mention the payment of redemption. No, Luke uses this time, the purification of Mary and this redemption of the firstborn, to focus on something different. His focus is on the presentation. That's why Mary and Joseph have come. Not to redeem Jesus, he is the Redeemer, but to present him to the Lord. For the sacrifice, they bring what's required of the poor, not a lamb, but a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And I almost wonder if Joseph and Mary had a sense as they were bringing Jesus that the sacrifice they were bringing wasn't enough, that the offering was too little, that they needed something more, something bigger to present to the Lord. They don't have a lamb, but they do have Jesus. And so they present him. Like Abraham, who took his only son Isaac up to the top of Mount Moriah to sacrifice him, that's the exact same spot where Joseph and Mary are standing when they present Jesus. And Abraham told his son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And now, today, 40 days after Christmas, the lamb is presented, the lamb God provided. Mary and Joseph might as well lay Jesus on the altar, on the bronze altar of sacrifice, because he is a sacrifice for sin and guilt. He is the whole burnt offering. He is a thank offering and a peace offering and a vow offering. Jesus, the sacrifice to whom every lamb pointed. What are Mary and Joseph doing, presenting him to the Lord like this? Didn't they know what it would mean for Jesus? When thankful Hannah, whom we heard about in our first reading, when she presented her son Samuel to the Lord after he was weaned, it was so that he could stay there, stay at Shiloh, where the tabernacle was, to learn from and serve beside Eli the priest. Hannah's son would stay there in the temple forever. Samuel was the Lord's, for doing the Lord's service, for the liturgy, for doing the Lord's work on behalf of the people, not just once, but day after day and year after year. And now Mary is doing what Hannah did. Her son is another Samuel, given back to the Lord, re-gifted to him. Now in Samuel's days, the Lord had said, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest, who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall go in and out before my anointed, the king, forever. A priest forever. Not from the line of Eli or the line of Aaron or the line of Levi, a priest after a different order. The order of Melchizedek, that strange character in the scriptures who has no beginning and no end. Jesus, the priest to whom all priests pointed, coming to the temple this day to begin his priesthood. And so Joseph and Mary present Jesus to the Lord, a sacrifice and a priest. But what is God going to do with this gift? What is God going to do with this firstborn, with this sacrifice, with this priest, with the one whom he gave Mary and Joseph, and whom Mary and Joseph are giving back to him? What will the Lord do with the re-gift of Jesus? There are a few in the temple who have an idea of what God will do, some who've been waiting and to whom the Holy Spirit has revealed what is to come. In the temple that day, there's Simeon, faithful Simeon, righteous and devout Simeon, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. And what's revealed to Simeon that day isn't his own. It's from the Holy Spirit, that he shouldn't see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And what Simeon says that day aren't his words, but the Holy Spirit speaks through him. For when he takes the baby Jesus in his arms, he blesses God and says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. what Simeon held in his arms, you receive in your mouth. The salvation of the world, the true body and blood of the Savior, the light, the glory of God. That's why we sing Simeon's words so often after Holy Communion. We're ready to die with Simeon. We're at peace in faith, having seen the Lord's salvation. Mary and Joseph weren't expecting this. They marveled at what was said about their son. And Simeon is given a little glimpse of how salvation will happen. Remember what he says to Mary. He talks about this child being appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is going to be opposed. And a sword, he says, will pierce through your own soul also. This child will bring a sword for Mary, a piercing sword, pain, grief, sorrow, her son's death. That's what it means to present him to the Lord, to present him for death. And there's another one in the temple. There's Anna, advanced in years, Anna, widow Anna, not departing from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him, of Jesus, to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. The redemption that takes place through Jesus. You see, when Joseph and Mary presented him, he didn't need to be redeemed because he is the redemption, holy to the Lord. That day in the temple, they were presenting the Redeemer. And he is your Redeemer as well. Every time we confess the creeds, we are confessing that he has redeemed me and that he has redeemed you, lost and condemned people, that he has purchased and won us from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. And why did he redeem you? That you might be his own. And live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Jesus was presented that day in the temple to be that Redeemer for you, given back from the Lord for your redemption. You see, Mary and Joseph did everything according to the law, and that was good. But they did everything according to the law so that God could do everything according to the gospel. They presented Jesus to the Lord. They gave him back to his Father so the Father could present him to us and give him to us this day. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Son who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, of whom God says, "Let all God's angels worship him." And for you, the Father presented his Son on the cross, both priest and sacrifice. And today he presents his Son to you again with everything that he's done and with all of his gifts. That same priest serving today before you and that same sacrifice being given to you. Yours in baptism, yours in the word of forgiveness, yours in this Holy Communion. The Father takes the firstborn whom Mary and Joseph present and presents him to you as your forgiveness and your holiness. It says in the scriptures that we are being conformed to the image of God's Son so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. The firstborn of many. That's what Jesus is. Through baptism, you have been born like him. You have been born from above. You have been born in his image. And he has made you his brother, his sister. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him, in the one presented in the temple, purifies himself as he is pure. And now what difference does this make? What does the presentation of Jesus mean for you? It means that you have an older brother in your fight against sin, death, and the devil. And not just an older brother to encourage you, but an older brother who has beat up your enemies on your behalf. It means that you have a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God who is still serving you today. It means that you know one who is able to help those who are being tempted because he has suffered like you. And so you today, dear brother, dear sister, you are not to present your members, your body and soul, your eyes, ears, and mouth, your hands and your feet, your sexual organs, your heart, your mind, your reason, your senses, your imagination. You are not to present them to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members as God's instruments for righteousness. And why would you do that? Why would you present yourself and your body and your life to the Lord? Because he has redeemed you. Because you are not your own. Because you were bought with a price. Because your brother has got your back. And now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Your bodies, not just your thoughts, but your body, a living sacrifice, regifted to you each day in Jesus, that you might present yourself to your neighbor in love, all that you are and all that you have. I know that you failed at this, so have I. But today, Jesus is presented to you with all his forgiveness. Jesus is presented to you with all his purity. He is presented to you with all his holiness and with all his cleansing. And he makes you pure and clean to present you before the Father. And so today, as each day is a new start. And today, again, God presents Jesus to you, and he forgives you again, and he gives you not just an idea, but he gives you the body and the blood again, that living sacrifice who lives for you, that he might present you to the Father in holiness and in splendor. For Jesus Christ, whom Mary and Joseph presented in the temple, whom Simeon and Anna rejoiced to see, he is the firstborn, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He is the first of many. And you are one of those. And now to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen.